nothing you do is really that private anymore. Make no mistake. Once something goes into a computer system, let's be honest, it never comes out. Almost never. I mean, once it's in there, your information's in there, where you live, your phone number. If you run a Google search on yourself, chances are you'll find all sorts of information. Spend $25, you'll find out just how much people can find out for $25. But it's getting worse, potentially. How would you feel if the tech giants, Google, Facebook, IBM, Microsoft, whomever, had information on your health care? Everything you've ever had, from a hangnail to whatever else, was accessible to the data crunchers. How would you feel about that? My next guest, Dr. Roger Klein, is an expert with the Regulatory Transparency Project's FDA and Health Working Group. Dr. Klein, welcome to the program.
Hey, good morning, Steve.
Good to have you here. All right, so we've talked about some of these things in the past, but you know, once your data's out there, it's out there. And people say, well, I own my data. Well, let me be clear. Whoever has the data, they're pretty much in charge of it, are they not?
Well, I think you have very legitimate concerns, and it's something that in this age of big data, we all need to worry about. I do want to say, though, that there is another side to it, and I think the analysis of the data does have the potential to do a lot to benefit healthcare and to improve the way we take care of patients. So I agree with your concerns, but I think there are two sides to the issue.
Well, the two sides, maybe. But the fact of the matter is, with electronic medical records, which have been mandated across the country for a number of years now, the interrelationship between computers all over the country, when you get a prescription in the state of Michigan and try to go to Missouri or Montana to refill it, good chance those computers are going to have some sort of a red flag on there. So you know the computers are communicating with each other. And so your data's out there. And I'm sorry, mm-hmm. I don't trust the big tech people as much as you do, apparently. Your thoughts?
No, I don't. It's not a question of trust or not trust. I mean, I'm looking at it more sort of from an objective, from a scientific standpoint, actually. When I think that big data, the analysis of data in ways that humans aren't capable of doing, you know, these supercomputers that can look at and find patterns in reported information.
Sure, they can find connections in disease. They can find a pattern of cancer cases. They can find a pattern of other illnesses and maladies. I understand that. Go on.
Right. No, I'm not arguing. It's not that I trust anybody. I don't trust them probably any more than you do. It's just that I think that there's. I really think it requires a bit more. What I think is important is to inform people of what's going on, and they have to have a right to consent to it. I mean, I think you're really pursuing research, and generally, we don't let people do research on other people without their consent.
But the fact of the matter is, Doctor, I think you might agree, Dr. Roger Klein here, an expert on regulatory transparency in the project's FDA and Health Working Group. How many times do we see massive data breach, massive hacking mm-hmm. breach? Oh, we see this all the time. You know, and for every one we actually see and hear and learn about, I wonder how many go unmentioned. And I wonder how many go unmentioned when people are trying to figure out how to get a database on me, Steve Gruber, that they go and they figure it out and they fill in the blank. I mean, let's not fool ourselves. I'm quite sure there's a pretty extensive, you know, file on me medically, financially, politically, socially. It's not much of a stretch to believe that, is it?
No, it's not at all. I mean, I think it's part of the world in which we live. We're going to need to understand and figure out ways to deal with it. It's not going to go away. You know, we share enough data on social media, for example, that I think anybody could, even if they anonymize these records, a smart computer scientist can figure out who the people are behind them.
And that's my point. And so I don't know how many people are comfortable with the whole world knowing their medical history. Maybe they don't care. Maybe we're to a point, because I hear this too, Doctor. People are like, you know, it's out there. I don't care. It just doesn't matter anymore. People are completely desensitized to all of it. And maybe it does help. You know, you look at emerging illnesses in different places. And maybe it's a way to say, okay, we've got an issue with the water over there and an environmental issue because we have this pattern of disease over there, of cancer. Maybe we've got a pattern over here, and they can look into underlying causes. Maybe they can find genetic markers. Okay, if you've got a string of illnesses here. And I understand that. Crunching the mass data, nothing's more powerful than that, right?
It's powerful, but I do think, it is illegal to release the data on individual people. So I think they can't use it for purposes that are beyond the scope of agreements. Now, look, can that be violated? Yes, of course there's a risk, but it isn't as if we have no privacy protection. It's not legal to simply go look up people's records or and of course not to release the information. So I agree. It's a very, very serious concern. The question is how to preserve the benefits of this. And look, the big data aspects aren't going away. How do we get the benefits from it while still protecting people's privacy?
It might be illegal. I've never heard of anybody being prosecuted for such a thing. Maybe I missed it in the headlines, and I'm sure that somebody must have,
Oh yeah, there are. There are people for where they get fined usually for big data data breaches.
And, sure,
and but there have been situations where people have, for example, looked up celebrities' records and have gotten prosecuted for that. So I mean, I think, but look, it's not. You're right. It's not. It's pretty hard to enforce when you have 320 million people and lots of information and lots of hospitals and
lots of people lurking in the shadows. Good conversation though, Dr. Roger Klein. He is an expert with the Regulatory Transparency Project's FDA and Health Working Group. Greatly appreciate you being here again, Doctor. We'll talk soon.
Yeah, thanks, Steve.
Thank you so much. It's a Monday. Think about it. Who knows what's going on with you? Is it just a cough or is it something more serious, Mr. Gruber? I plead the fifth. 52 after. We'll be right back. When you're young, losing money on Wall Street is a relatively minor setback because you still have plenty of time to recover. But when you get to be our age, it's a different story. We don't have the luxury of time, and a bear market now can do some real damage to your hopes for a comfortable retirement. Hey, it's Steve Gruber. Bruce Van Hull and Michael Douglas understand that. And that's why they like to design a portfolio that provides you with income, no matter what the market is doing, without sacrificing potential for growth. Don't let Wall Street dictate how you live your retirement. Talk to Bruce and Michael today about how to protect what you've worked so hard to build. Call 517-323-7526 and schedule a portfolio review today. That's 517-323-7526 or get online at MyLifePlanFinancial.com. MyLifePlanFinancial.com.
Steve Gruber was compensated for this ad. Life Plan Financial Design, Inc. is a financial services firm that offers a broad array of products and services, including insurance and annuities. Licensed in Michigan.